I can hold my beer as good as any man, and I'll dance and sing as long as I can.
Welcome to Rhythm and Brews, the monthly podcast where we effortlessly effuse about beer and music. Welcome back, episode 8.
Episode 8. I don't know how we
Jesus.
Got here.
And for those who have listened to the crossover, they will know that we're here with the Hopinions guys.
Hello.
Hey. How are you doing? If you don't know, just stop listening now.
We're still here.
Yeah, we're still here. We're not gone anywhere.
We're not going just because you don't know. We're still here.
On the squeaky, movable bonkettes.
Yeah.
So we're here.
Which is wasted on a podcast, but it's fantastic to look at.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I loved the medieval ruffs that you both have on. They're quite amazing. They just walk around with these normally. It's crazy. But so we're here with Beer O'Clock / Opinions for episode 8. And if you had listened to the last one, we kind of did their thing, which is all about polling people who don't know anything.
They do. It's about having opinions.
I thought that 60% of them knew something.
Yes.
Exactly. 60%. Yeah. 60%
were right.
They know their shit.
The other 40% doesn't give a monkey's about, apparently. Yeah.
Whoa, jeez. Music just started up. Yes, but that's okay. That's no fine. Reason. It's fine. Ambient background music. That's what we like here. So, before we get into the body of the podcast, Andrew, for those first-time listeners, do you want to explain what it is we're doing here so that I can tear it down piece by piece?
You will. Okay, you'll look at me disdainfully as I try and explain this for the umpteenth time. And I think the explanation changes every time I do this, doesn't it? So, So you first of all got the neurological connection, the neurological theory that certain tones will influence what you taste. Yes?
Yep.
So low tones will affect the bitterness, it will enhance bitterness, high tones will enhance sweetness, discordant, spiky tones will enhance sour and tartness. So there's been research to prove that when you play those tones to people when they're drinking beer, it will enhance those qualities in a beer. So bitter beers will taste more bitter. Actually, no, any beer will taste more bitter. That's the theory.
Yep.
That's what you go with.
Yep.
But I think we're expanding this now. It's not just the neurological, it's the experiential.
Psychological.
It's so, can you capture in a tune what that beer's about? Can you recreate some essence of that beer? Are you capturing it in the name or the taste or the style? Or are you trying to capture what someone thinks about that beer in a tune?
And so this is what we were talking about with you guys from the last podcast, right? We kind of went into the neurological bit, didn't touch on the psychological bit. So I can understand that you think that the whole neurological bit, bollocks. Absolute bollocks.
Yeah.
I don't think we said absolute bollocks. I think I was sceptical.
That's what I was reading in your face.
Okay, absolute bollocks. you've got me there.
Yeah. But he's read you quite well there, Steve.
He's nailed it, yeah.
But I mean, if you accept like the principle of like smell and taste being linked, that if you cut off your smell, your taste is severely affected, why would that not work with what you listen and what you taste? If senses are linked,
all of the senses are linked, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Because neurological is fact-based sense, isn't it?
Yes.
Less so, perhaps, with the psychological side.
So, this is the thing. The psychological side, I think, is a big thing. Because it's like, I don't know about you guys, but music evokes particular feelings, particular memories.
Yeah. Give you both those, yeah.
And that can totally affect what you're tasting. Like, it's because tasting a beer, I mean, as you probably have had the experience of, having a beautiful beer in a shit environment when you're in a shit mood is probably going to affect the taste of the beer, right?
No, it's a good point, because we always say on our show when we talk about having beers at brewery taps or at the brewery itself when you're on a tour or something like that, there's something about having a beer in the place where it's been made.
Right.
Yeah.
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 But I've got no scientific fact to base it on.
other than the environment.
Other than I'm thinking it's been made 5 yards away from me,
and
so
possibly
it must be amazing.
Possibly that you've been earshot of at least one of the people that were involved in brewing it.
Yeah, so
there was definitely someone with a beard involved, and he's over there.
Yeah, that's, exactly. So that's like the cliche of Guinness tastes better when you drink it in Dublin.
No, but that is actually because it's a different recipe, right?
Is it potentially? I know the export recipe is not.
No, okay.
No, but if it's a different recipe.
There we go.
But you do have iterations of Guinness, so like the foreign export stout, which is massive in Nigeria.
Yeah.
The 7.5% one, particularly made from
the original version.
Yeah. That is the best Guinness anyway, without a shadow of a doubt. We had Guinness in Dublin. I don't think it tasted any different, but it did feel like a good experience being in the brewery having it.
It was at the top of the tower, surrounded by French rugby fans.
Yeah, French rugby fans while we were in Dublin.
But then, another example, holiday beers. Have you ever been on holiday, been drinking a beer for 2 weeks, thought, this is fantastic, I am drinking this all the time when I get home.
And you get the all-inclusive.
Yeah, exactly.
Estrella. I went on a 10-day all-inclusive, drank nothing but Estrella, thought it was brilliant, came back drinking, I was like, that's shit.
mine was Amstel, when I went to Rhodes in 1990.
There you go.
See, exactly.
And I've still got a little bit of a soft spot for it, even though I think it's shit. I can actually get more. So when we spoke about earlier on our show about the, we touched upon, you know, the actual neurological. So for me, that's more of the like hard science you were talking about.
Yeah.
The psychological thing. I know there's still science behind the psychological, but that's such a wide area of interpretation, isn't it?
Oh, it totally is. It is. And I mean, this is the thing. It's like what, if you've listened to previous podcasts, what Elbow does for Andrew, in other words, it makes the seat a little bit wet.
I love Elbow. Guy Garvey, I would have his babies.
It shrivels me up inside and makes me want to die. It's so, you know, and those are two very different experiences. I mean, closely linked, little death and all that, But anyway, okay, so we've covered off that. So let's get on to Beer O'Clock and Hopinions, because we do this whenever we have guests. We don't just jump straight into it. We want to know a little bit more about you, because, I mean, in the beer world, you guys are practically unknown. So it's...
fucking shit, I'm going.
And this is following Pete Brown on one of their episodes. So
Pete Brown is probably the episode before this.
But yeah. this is taking up to 11 now.
Exactly. We're taking it up to 11. This is fine.
First time I've ever been able to say Pete Brown's been a warm-up act. Laughing that one.
It's not saying Pete Brown's ever going to admit to, is it?
No, absolutely not.
Come on, Steve. Give the bit of background.
Yeah.
You're the old hand of this.
Beer O'Clock Show started almost 5 years ago now as a podcast between two blokes that wanted to drink beer. One of them who knew a little bit and one of them who knew nothing. And the idea was that the one who knew a little bit would teach the one who knew nothing stuff about beer. And it just kind of grew from there over the course of 4 years.
This sounds oddly familiar, Andrew. Yes.
I mean, you and Mark built up a massive following, didn't it?
We did, and you know, at the time, 4 years ago, there were only a handful of beer podcasts in the UK. Now there's lots, and it's great that we're seeing such an influx of new beer podcasts coming into the UK as well. Because
I think, all with a different slant as well.
Yeah, everybody's got a slightly different angle on what they do and a slightly different way of doing it, and that's great. And it's a community that's just growing and growing and growing. So. Yeah, we did that for 4 years, and then Mark decided that he had reached the end of his journey. I decided I wasn't done. So essentially, without knowing it, our final season of the Beer O'Clock Show almost ended up being a series of auditions for who might be the next co-host.
Like an X Factor.
they didn't know at the time. Because
did you have the large red X's and the buttons? That would have been a bit of a giveaway.
Absolutely not. But Martin was on very early on in that season, and just clicked really well in terms of the amount of research that he actually put into the show as well, because we featured four pure
beers. Yeah, we featured four pure, and I actually
went down there.
I went over there.
It was an excuse to chat.
It was a good excuse to talk to him, to be fair.
Oh, that's properly swatting up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And Martin and I knew each other anyway from drinking together and
Essex Bottle Share.
And from there were other guests that probably would have worked, but the reason why Martin worked so well was because he also lived just down the road from me.
Basically, it's location.
So it just
meant that we could be together in the same room. So we've been, towards the end of the Beer O'Clock Show, we've been trialling the idea of doing polls every week and using listener feedback as part of those polls. I was beginning to want to move away from just doing standard beer reviews and do more. Mark wasn't, so we came to an end, and I was like, well, I've already got a format for a new show, I just need a new co-host to do it with, and Martin was the obvious choice. So we started almost a year ago.
Yeah, coming up for a year now.
We're just having a lot of fun drinking beer and talking shit.
Yeah, it has been good fun. I mean,
possibly our new strapline.
Yeah.
Drinking beer and talking shit.
I think it was implied.
Yeah, it was probably implied.
2016.
It has been good fun. I mean, I was a little bit, I wasn't sure, because I've been doing the blogging for a couple of years before that, for a year or so before that, hadn't I? And obviously, like I said, new Steve, very much into the beer scene. But I really enjoyed listening to him and Mark and a few of the other podcasts I was listening to. And I thought, well, first of all, yeah, that's all right. Oh, shit, that's something I won't be able to listen to anymore. So it'll be me. I'll be listening to myself.
You don't religiously listen to your own episodes
I pick and choose which ones, I'll be honest. Because it's still strange listening to your own voice. I mean, I'm sure you guys...
Well, absolutely. I don't listen to ours. In fact, I'm pretty sure Luke probably edits me out. Of every single podcast.
Yeah, I thought it was their solo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, it's just me. Yeah.
But it has been. It is incredibly good fun, and I think at the moment we've sort of hit a nice spot where, with the polls as well and the feedback we're getting, it gives us so much content to work with.
Yeah.
Not always the content we think that will come up. So sometimes you put a question out there and you think, okay, well, we'll see what happens. And the one we did recently about London. Suddenly sparked double the amount of votes for most of our polls.
Wow.
People just got well on board with that.
Yeah.
And then other ones where you get lots of comments. I love reading all the comments, I have to admit, because you get a lot of interesting ones. So great, it's really enjoyed the engagement and that side of things. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. But I still don't enjoy listening to myself back.
You've seen, yeah, certainly in London anyway, the beer market, the number of brewers just... exponential.
Even just in the last year, you're still having new breweries coming on, breweries expanding all the time. I mean, Four Pure have just announced a massive expansion
program.
They're basically taking over the bottom half of Bermondsey between them and where Millwall are, I think.
They're
going
to rename it.
So, you know, it's always moving.
Possibly paving the way for something in the future.
Speculation.
Could that be, Steve?
I think I might have called.
Hasn't been announced.
You can't bank that one yet.
Is it by any chance saying involving A, B, I?
No.
Just random letters, right?
Carlsberg.
But yeah, I mean, things. I mean, it's not just the breweries. It's just the amount of choices of places to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We met up with you guys a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? And we went over to the Exmouth Arms.
Yep.
And then we went for a bit of a wander at the craft beer co and stopped off somewhere else. And we got great beer in all three places.
Exactly.
Without really having to think about it.
No, not too hard.
No, it's actually, I mean, these days, it's if you're walking to a pub and you're only presented with Doombar and London Pride,
you're
like, what the hell is going on here, guys? Like, seriously?
Sort your shit out. You would have gone, yep, thank you very much. I'll
have to stay here.
Not in that
Doombar shit.
Oh, controversial. Before we get into the beers themselves, our favourite beer style?
IPA.
That's a loaded word you just said there, Martin. I mean, IPA, are you talking...
Are we going to subcategorise
now? Are you going to go a traditional IPA, English IPA? Are you going to go, like, West Coast IPA, East Coast IPA? Are you going to go dippers?
It's West Coast IPAs.
Yeah?
West Coast IPA. That's what really I've always been into my beer. So cask beer was my entry into, there's beers other than macro lagers. And then a while back, I suddenly found there was a style which I didn't know existed. It was lovely in the glass, lovely aroma, lovely bitterness, and it turned out to be a West Coast IPA. And that's still the style I will, if I have to default to one, it's that.
Fair play. I think that's a good explanation. Steve?
Same. I can't add anything to that. I'm known for loving an IPA, in particular West Coast style IPAs, and it's the beer that still does it for me. It's that bitterness, it's that big hoppy hit up front, and then that great big bitter finish. It's my go-to beer.
Who invited these guys on, Andrew?
Did you share the same brewery? What was your?
My
craft beer epiphany was the Jaipur from Thornbridge.
Okay.
Fair play. Yeah. Yep.
Hosting a beer tasting at work, Jeff Evans, well-known beer writer, came along and he presented us with six beers, and the last beer was Jaipur, and I was like, wow. How did that all happen? How have they got all these flavours? And I asked that question. They put fruit in this. He goes, no. I go, yeah.
So you slice on the side of the glass for you.
How did you know? So yeah, that was my craft beer epiphany. It was Jaipur.
I think in terms of IPA, probably something from the Colonel.
Yeah.
That first demonstrated to me what that style could actually do. Because until then.
You would have had English IPAs.
I'm going to be honest, the only IPA I had drunk was Green King.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I had selected something in a craft bar that had the letters IPA after it, and I was given this amber-looking drink that was fizzy and had aroma and flavour and everything, and I was like, wow.
That sounds a lot like Green King IPA.
Not at the bars I drink it, that's for sure.
Okay.
And no turning back since then.
No turning back since the Colonel. No. Eventually, at some point, stumbled across the likes of Cannonball and Axe Edge and Halcyon, and the rest, as they say, is history.
And you've stumbled ever since.
Yes. right to Morrison's to buy four packs of New World IPA on a regular basis.
Oh, I like that crossover. That was good. People won't know what we're talking about unless they go and listen to our opinions.
Yeah, and that's why we've been doing this for 5 years.
See, that's it. Perfect.
Everything comes back to us.
Every single time. Shall we get on to the beers then?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so.
Because I've nearly finished one now.
Yeah, well.
I'm trying not to drink.
Slow down.
I'm just sipping away.
Okay, so, beer number one.
Beer number one.
Is
BrewDog's Dead Pony Club.
Nice staple BrewDog.
Yeah, because you were saying you reckon it's been one of their core beers for a while.
This has been definitely a core.
Well, this is
for ages.
Ages.
This is like one of the originals, right?
This is probably after their original wave of beers, isn't it? This was their low ABV session, for want of a better phrase. This came after. I don't know how old it is though, but I'm a better picture.
It's when they started.
2009, 2010.
It's been around
2010.
For a while.
Yeah,
it's a while, isn't it? I think it's fantastic. I mean, I love it.
Well, it's when they stopped doing the 16% beers, basically, isn't it? Like, well, not stop doing them, but stop doing that as their core range.
Stop putting it out there as their
just driving
advert,
the publicity with the super strength beers.
Credit where credit's due, it got them publicity.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Daily Mail hated it.
Probably still do.
Probably still do.
Causes cancer, I heard.
Yeah. Well done, BrewDog.
Maybe I should buy a big bottle of a tactical nuclear penguin and wrestle it out. Daily Mail.
Surprised they haven't done that already.
Limited edition.
Oh, sorry, I've trademarked that, by the way.
Yeah. Done. Do you have tasting notes?
I do have tasting notes.
Look,
genuine paper.
On proper paper.
There we go. Because I did do some prep.
Yeah, I did none.
Okay, right then. So
standard for you guys.
I know. So, because I'm not. I don't think I've ever drunk this before.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
What? Yep.
Sorry.
Seriously,
you made me go all high pitched on your show.
Yeah. Because.
How is that really?
I think I've consciously avoided BrewDog.
Oh. No. So why?
Just because, A, every time I've invariably walked into their bars, I've been far too busy.
Okay.
And I think by the time I came across Blue Dog, they just came across as one of the big boys. And it's just like, that was not what I wanted to be drinking.
That's interesting, that statement there.
See, I suppose maybe it depends when you come into the BrewDog world. I mean, BrewDog were, especially for their bars in London, one of the first craft bars I came across.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, compared to others, they nailed the craft bar look.
Oh, yeah,
stripped
totally.
Back, you know, a little bit distressed, all that kind of
movable
stuff
seats.
Going on. Movable seats, as we found out.
I think the first one I ever went to was the one in Camden.
Yeah, the one sort of couple of roads behind the station,
isn't it? That's tiny.
And it's small.
Yeah, it's claustrophobic and it's hot and sweaty.
The bar is about 5 foot wide, isn't it?
So, I've walked in there on previous occasions and walked out again just because it's too busy.
Because you're a grumpy old man.
Indeed, I'm a grumpy old man, and I like a seat and I like a packet of crisps and
flat beer.
Yeah. So I think I've.
They didn't serve any London Pride.
I think I've consciously avoided them.
So, your half pint of BrewDog Dead Pony Club is your first experience.
I tried it earlier this week, so I did do
as part of your
prep, but that was probably the first time I'd drunk it.
Well, wow. You're untapped, I'll tell you.
Yes, I know it is.
If it's not an untapped, it
doesn't matter. It doesn't count.
It didn't happen.
So you've got experience with this beer.
I'm a big fan. Yeah. I think it's ABV. It's bags of flavour.
On a hot day,
you'd
walk into a BrewDog bar and you'd order a pint of it and you'd drain it.
Well, what did I
minutes.
Do tonight?
I'd drain it in minutes, yeah.
Because this is 3.8?
Yeah, I think so.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
So you could drink this till the cows come home.
I sometimes overlook it, I have to admit, and go for its bigger brother.
You get
the
punk straight away, yeah? I do a lot of the time, but today, because it was the day we were recording with you guys, it's been a really pleasant, very hot day, actually, I suppose, in retrospect. But this beer felt the perfect beer to go for when I got here.
This is balanced, this is light, it's still got flavour, a bit of fruit there.
I actually think, having had Jackhammer earlier this evening, this has actually got more going on.
I mean, I genuinely could keep drinking this, whereas the Jackhammer, and I have effectively almost nearly drunk it all.
Did I just hear a very tiny, I disagree?
Yeah.
With what?
I mean, do we want to delve into this?
Yeah, I think we should delve into it, because I think there's more flavour coming out of this than the Jackhammer we had earlier.
No, I think there's flavour coming out of it. There isn't more flavour coming out of it. I think there's more going on in Jackhammer.
Nah. Jackhammer had much more dryness and bitterness. But actual flavour, I think this beats it.
I think if Jackhammer was a character in a film, he'd be just one-dimensional, two-dimensional.
Ooh.
Whereas Dead Pony Club's got it all going on.
God, it's like being surrounded by the cast boys.
We're comparing keg to keg.
No, I know, but...
We haven't got live Dead Pony.
You like a nice...
live Dead Pony?
Beer, don't you?
Would it be dead live pony?
I like cast beer, is that what you meant?
No, there was a live dead pony
was
last
there
year.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And it was awful.
It was dreadful.
It was not a shadow on the Dead Pony Club. I've got to agree, Dead Pony Club is a great beer. I don't think there's more going on in that than Jackhammer. For me, Jackhammer is a much better beer than this.
Okay. Interesting.
Controversial.
Okay, so where have you got?
It's just what we want to show where the presenters always agree with each other, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Rubbish, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So I've tried. I think this beer's balanced. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's elements of sweetness and bitterness in there, but it's balanced. It's rounded. Yeah. You're not. I'm not picking something that's trying to emphasise one character over another.
Okay.
But I want something light. I want something refreshing. I want something upbeat. Yeah. You're not. Are you nodding? Luke is nodding. I think he's nodding.
I've got a very tiny nod going on.
There is a nod going on.
It's more of a nod stroke. I'm listening to.
Yeah. So with that in mind, we're trying to get the sort of the neurological essence of it. I'm thinking. I'm then going to go experience. I'm thinking Scottish brewery. I'm going to go for a Scottish band.
Of course you fucking would. Seriously.
You hate this bit, don't you?
So, hey, we've got a Scottish brewery. Let's do some bloody bagpipes. I mean, it's just.
I haven't prepped the payments.
Brilliant. Is it
all Bay City Rollers?
Country.
Oh, nearly.
Simple Minds.
Scottish band.
No, no, not Simple Minds.
Okay, we're running out of Scottish bands now.
No.
Vivi Quaro. Frightened Rabbit.
No.
Come on.
No, Frightened Rabbit's one of
those. Is this not how it works? Do we not just shout out stuff until we get it right?
Oh, no. This is basically what we're doing now is we're just covering over Andrew's normal. He just has a list of songs that he reads out for an hour.
I could have picked.
It's okay, so which Scottish band have you gone for, Andrew?
Altered Images.
Oh, seriously?
Yes.
Okay. It's a long time since I've heard anything from them.
Okay,
Grogan.
Grogan.
You would, wouldn't you?
it depends on whether this bit's going in or not. But
bad answer to that.
Okay, so
shall we listen and then we can.
So the tune is "Don't Talk to Me About Love."
Okay, so this is Altered Images. Altered Images.
You have heard of them?
Yeah, they're from before I was born, so it's fine. Altered Images with
"Don't Talk to Me About Love."
Okay, here we go. Altered Images with "Don't Talk to Me About Love," is that right?
Yes.
Luke. Yeah. I don't know. It's old music.
Old music for old people.
How many of the people around this table actually recognised it. No.
And for the purpose of the podcast, we have hands up.
Yeah, put your hands up, right?
Yeah.
Who remembers Claire Grogan in Gregory's Girl?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I remember that one. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
It's the only thing I remember about Gregory's Girl.
What a fantastic film. The whole scene of dancing on your back. I love that. And that's not a pervy reference. that's a proper scene. That's a proper scene.
Sure it is, Andrew. Chill.
Come on, it's one of the nicest chilled out before What's-His-Face was doing films.
Who? I don't even know what you're talking about. Who? Fucking John Cusack. I don't know.
Pretty in Pink. Who directed Pretty in Pink?
John Hughes.
Yeah, before John Hughes was doing film, Gregory Girl was
there. There you go. What was that supposed to do to the beer, Andrew?
It was supposed to make it be better.
But how?
Because it was lively, it was perky, it was rounded, it was full of life, it was light.
Okay, I'm curious. Did that do anything for the beer for you guys?
It definitely didn't detract from the beer for me.
There you go. I'm taking that as a win. That's a win.
That's maybe a little bit more fun.
I loved the song choice, so thank you very much for that one.
Is that because you recognised it?
There is that as well. I love it when people pick songs I actually know. Yeah. It didn't bring anything else out in the beer for me.
No, I think it's tricky because it's like there's no... You drink that and it's nice and it's rounded. It's easy drinking. Yeah. There's no characteristic I was thinking I was trying to...
There's nothing which go... There's no peaks and troughs in the beer, is there?
No.
So, is it possibly too easy drinking?
Is that maybe... So. You know what? No peaks and troughs in that song either. So, you know, perfect. It's,
So as a matching, very well done. It didn't detract from me because I was quite happy sipping away while I was listening.
Okay, so there's no jarring.
No,
this is terrible.
No.
Okay.
It's funny, actually, because to me, that brought out the bitterness in this, and I don't know why. Maybe I was just bitter about the fact that you
don't
chose
talk
something
to me about
shit
love.
And
don't
Scottish.
Talk to me about love.
Yeah. But 80s pop just brings out bitterness in me. But no, but I think it was...
Because you missed it.
Actually, I was trying to listen to the sonic qualities of that song. Well, and it did have a lot of high in the vocals, but actually a lot of the down was quite... There's a bass there. And I don't know whether that was what was bringing out the bitterness or whether I was just bitter. I don't know.
You're normally bitter.
Most of the time, yes.
You two pick out way more of the music than I do,
yeah.
I admit.
I
was listening to that.
We both just sit here like this.
But that's because that's our thing. This is how we do it. This is our thing.
Again, on an audio podcast, I'm doing visuals.
I'm
all
doing
bopping
this.
Along. Yeah, we were just like, how.
We were just saying today that there needs to be more dancing in podcasts. I mean, hey.
Yeah, I did see someone like that.
Yeah.
That ain't going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Dad dancing on this side of the table.
Okay, well, I'm going to take that as not a loss. That was.
It wasn't a definite loss.
No.
Listen, as we started off, this is a really well-balanced, really well-rounded beer.
Yeah, I think so.
And I thought that if you're talking about a pairing, the two went well together. But it didn't. One didn't do anything to the other.
Didn't bring it out. It was a good matching.
Yeah. Okay. Fair
Not
enough.
A good pairing.
I live with that.
Shit at your job. Okay.
Just to be clear, I finished the beer, though.
Yeah, well, shall we move on? Because, I mean... Second beer should always be something nice and light, moving on just nicely, so we've gone for a stout.
Marvellous.
What have we got? Because we've let you... This is unusual for us on this side of the table. We don't usually let people choose all our beers.
Well, particularly here at this end of the table.
Yeah.
Well...
Remote control issues.
Steve's not good at this.
So this is a Rheingeist Luck Stout.
Who what?
Rheingeist,
I've
never heard of before.
Is that,
but, you
that
know,
the name of the brewery?
It's the name of the brewery. It is definitely the name of the brewery.
Tell us a bit more about the brewery.
Well, I can tell you loads about the brewery as soon as it loads. Well, that's the thing. It's like Rheingeist.
It is Ghost of the Rhine. I guessed right.
There we go.
There we go.
Done. Rheingeist.
I'm impressed with that. Well done.
Done.
Cheers.
Cheers. Obviously, typical German brewery based in Cincinnati. That's what you expect, right?
It's got a nice nose, though.
Mm.
It's a very stouty nose.
Very stouty nose.
It is. I mean, that is... You smell... Wait. Can we get some high-definition sniffing, mate?
Oh, I've forgotten about your...
Oh, that's so good. I mean, there's definite coffee nose there.
Yeah.
This is...
A bit of dark chocolate and vanilla
the
on the flavour.
It's more on the sort of roasted malts and...
Oh, yeah.
So what does this beer come in at?
This is a 4.7, so it's actually not particularly heavy.
So it's exactly the same as the Jet Black Heart we shared earlier.
Hey, but this definitely has more body to it than the Jet Black Heart did.
I disagree. This is thinner.
This is thin and it's light.
This hasn't been nitrated.
Yeah, it's very true, actually. Nitro. It's not as velvety.
No, it hasn't got that velvet quality.
Mine's dyed in the glass, and it's interesting because I've got a different glass from you three.
You do.
You're all in the half-pint tulip.
I've got a Teku, and you've all got heads still. My glass has no life or head left in it whatsoever.
No head.
No head retention.
I'm still getting the carbonation, though.
There's still a little bit, but it's definitely got... I love the aroma. I think the aroma's fantastic. It definitely hasn't got that same body.
Is that just the nitro, then, the way they've served it up? Is that how they've created that body with the brew?
It does add a lot.
Sorry, a little bit of a tangent, but when Steve and I went to Dublin for the All Tech Festival, we had this most amazing Irish coffee nitro stout, which is a collaboration between White Hag and Kinnegar, and on nitro it was the most amazing beer there. We've had it on bottle since, and it's still a fantastic beer, but it's not as amazing,
so it's the nitro
same element, which is like it sort of just fills up the glass, you know, when
it gives
you,
it a creaminess as well. The nitro just gives it this like nice creamy
well it does
finish.
It's the same with Guinness, right? It's like the first time I had a nitro coffee, which we were talking about earlier today. It's like nitro coffee, the whole concept is basically what they did with Guinness. It's just adding in the nitrogen in there.
Same thing, people fit like Guinness, everyone's always, it's a heavy drink. You know, it must have more calories and more everything in it, but it hasn't. It's just the way they've served it to you through the nitro.
Exactly. Effect.
But this is a really tasty beer, but it hasn't got that same feel.
I know what you mean. It's got a lighter. This to me is like a really light espresso. That's what it is. It's like it's that wateriness that sort of comes through.
Yeah, wateriness is probably giving the wrong impression to her. Probably unfortunate having this. If we'd had this before the nitro.
Yeah.
It's still a bit thin for
a stout. I expect a stout to have a lot more body to it and a lot more mouthfeel.
What about if it was a porter? Would you be happier? If it was classed as a porter, would you be happier with that? Because the porter doesn't have the same thickness in its name, does it?
There's no difference.
There is a difference
other than the name.
I believe that a stout is actually just a stout porter.
Yes,
but it's still a stout porter. It's still different.
I would probably be more accepting of it if it was labelled as a porter.
That's why I asked though.
Because generally, in my experience, porters are a little thinner.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
Hence why a stout is a stout porter.
Because they've called it a stout, they've almost like taken themselves down a notch by calling themselves a stout.
Yeah.
They've ruined their whole thing by just calling it a stout. So let's now call this the Luck Porter.
We've renamed it.
So one of the comments that you guys, in the opinions podcast, we did a poll which was around how whether music does enhance beer, right? And one of the guys was like, I love my music, love my beer. There's absolutely nothing in the fact that music enhances beer, right? That was one of the comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
It paraphrased. But so I decided, instead of going for Andrew's way of just, hey, it's
choosing
Scottish.
Choosing a Scottish band, something I want to hear.
I'd get scientific on their ass.
German,
right?
Say he's going to do David Hasselhoff.
German beer being served in a Scottish bar.
I'm going to go for a German based in Cincinnati. I think that's the way we go. No.
Have you found one?
So, no. Okay, so what this would benefit from, I think, is a little bit of sweetness.
Right, okay.
Okay?
Agree.
I think this sits to me, so I don't know, I've got this kind of weird synesthesia where I approach taste in highs and lows. This sits in a kind of low, muddy kind of, it's dark flavours. This needs some lightness brought to it, and needs some Disney brought to it.
So I'm not playing Disney.
You're not going to do Frozen.
It's going to be Frozen.
You know what? I would have worked. But no. So I'm going to play something that is quite heavy on the high tones. I'm going to play it, and then we're going to see what you guys think. So this is RAC and Penguin Prison with a song called Hollywood.
I'm not telling you again, what you need is just a slap around to make everything stop and kill the fall when you come back down. I'm not everything you want, I'm just a tease, maybe I'm out of touch. You can tell me what you want, I'll give it to you. Maybe you think too much, 'cause you're Hollywood. You never should. We never talk anymore. With your high heels on, you kill the sun. I'm not your friend anymore.
And Penguin Prison.
We're back in the room
with Hollywood. So as I said, that was High Tones brought out the sweetness, right? Right, guys? Right, guys?
So you chose this song to bring sweetness out of the beer? Because I think it's quite a sweet beer anyway.
I'm getting no sweetness from it at all.
No.
No.
But you've got no life in your beer.
Is that making a difference?
I think so.
Yeah, let's count him out. Let's count him out.
I don't know. It's not the best stout I've ever had, is it?
Did the song change anything sonically?
No, it's just
no. You're not loving this beer, are you?
I'm far from enjoying it. I mean, also I've got as a stout, I can actually see through it, which
it's 4.7.
It's like a dark ruby.
Yeah, it's almost like a red ale.
It might as well be Hobgoblin.
Oh, why would you put that in our heads? Lager boy.
It's the most disparaging comment I've ever heard.
What are you afraid of, cask boy?
I really enjoyed the song. I wasn't sure where you were going with the song with the beer.
Okay. This is the thing. I wasn't trying to go for the experience, the experiential... Which is what clearly Andrew was going for. I was trying to go for the sonic changing. I was trying to go for... So that was... Do you agree with me in that song is a very... in terms of songs, it sits up here, which is very good to say in a podcast.
Yeah.
It sits up on the high range. It's a very, all the vocals, all of the synth bits, they're all very like, up the upper register.
Is probably what reminded me of 80s modern romance.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yes. Yeah.
You're saying Nick Kershaw. Yeah. You could see Nick Kershaw.
Yeah, could have listened to Nick Kershaw playing that song easily.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I was trying to do with that was use those high tones to maybe balance this out, because the thing that I found with this beer is that the, as I said, it tasted like a bit of a thin espresso coffee, which is, you know, slightly bitter, sort of slightly got levels of acidity in there, and what I was trying to do was round that out by making it a bit sweeter and sort of round out the beer.
What I will give you is that, because I'm a bit like Steve, I'm not a massive lover of this beer.
No, I'm not either.
But I probably didn't dislike it as much when I was listening to the song.
There you go, done. Job done. I win.
Yeah.
Five stars.
But just pointing out right now, and again, this isn't going to work on an audio podcast because it's a visual thing, but my glass is now on a table and the light's shining through it, and on the table is definitely red.
Oh yeah, there is a red
underneath. Yeah.
There is, so there's 100% red through there.
That is not what I would expect to see from a stout.
No, there should be no colour.
Well, you know what? I'm looking forward to my next beer where I fuck with your taste buds. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, can't wait.
It's going to be phenomenal.
What I will say is I've enjoyed the first two songs, though.
Hey. There you go.
Absolutely.
All that actually matters.
Apparently these two do know their shit.
When it comes to music, not when it comes to beer. Okay, shall we move on to beer three then?
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
Number three.
So beer number three is?
Are you looking at me?
Yeah.
Are you looking at me?
I'm looking at you.
Beer number three is Elvis Juice.
Which, hopefully nobody's listened to the Proto Rhythm and Brewers before.
No, I hope not. No one did.
No, they didn't. It's fine. Well, I've got the stats.
Confession.
Okay.
Didn't you?
So this is Elvis Juice, which is one of my favourite supermarket beers, we were saying before.
It is now.
It's grapefruit. Have you guys had this before?
A couple of times.
Yeah, it went through many iterations before it got to this.
Oh, did it? Okay. I mean, this is essentially their Tesco finest.
Is it really? I don't know this. This is the hardcore IPA.
This one was the third or fourth version of Elvis Juice that they did, because it was originally a prototype beer,
right?
And then there was a version one of it, and then there was a version two, and then
didn't it not replace the hardcore IPA then?
No, that was Mr. President that replaced. Oh,
there you go.
Of course, thank you.
Because this is grapefruity to the shit,
yeah.
Right? it's a grapefruit IPA, right?
Grapefruit infused IPA. Yeah. So I think it's actually got grapefruit in it, as opposed to they've tried to create that with the hops.
It's sweet.
Oh,
do you not?
Really? I get the tartness in that. That is. Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ.
I've never really got the sweetness of it. I get the more like that piffiness. Sharp, yeah. Piffiness and sharpness.
This is what a fruity IPA should be.
Yeah.
This is the quintessential fruity IPA. I'm sorry, New England.
Okay, I might have to. This
might have to challenge that. Yeah.
No, I might have to agree.
Oh, fuck off!
And there's your tagline.
There we go.
I think this has got more of that fruity, piffy, piney aromas and flavour going on than Jackhammer.
I'm getting no piney from that.
Oh
no, it's quite sweet, but I like it because there's a sharpness from the grapefruit and there's still a bitterness on the tongue.
Sharpness is lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's that's gorgeous. Really refreshing.
It would cut through quite a lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's the same reason why I have a grapefruit juice every morning when I start. I have my breakfast.
No, nice. Are you telling us you have an Elvis juice every morning?
Yes.
Yep.
As soon as you get out of bed,
crack open a can.
Yeah.
Nothing like a good 6.7% in the morning.
I like a good beer story. Does anyone know why this is called Elvis juice?
It was just for publicity shit, wasn't it?
It's just two random words together. Juicy.
Is it?
And let's just call it Elvis.
You said that, Andrew, like you knew the story behind
this. I don't think there was an actual story behind this.
Because this is, I remember when we first recorded, so this was back when we were doing our old podcast, before we were world famous. We did this Elvis Juice as one of our first beers, and it was like, Elvis Juice, brilliant, we'll pick that because we can just go to Elvis, easy.
Yeah.
Elvis would not go well with this.
No, I don't think so.
It's too fruity and sharp and
no, but the I'm gonna jump in here with the old
music. You think Elvis would go?
No, not Elvis, but I think the Junkie XL Elvis track might work really well with this.
You know what? Okay. I think that's probably going down the right avenues there.
Because it's got a little bit of life to it. It's got a little bit of
a little less conversation.
Yeah, oh, less action. Yeah, absolutely.
Boom, boom.
So, Andrew, have you prepared your tasting notes?
Yes, it's got grapefruit in.
Good job. Yeah. And I'm impressed.
So I really enjoy this beer. I think this is refreshing. I don't find it too heavy. There's bitterness in there. It's coming through both from the grapefruitness and the hops, and it has got sweetness. I get that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't think it's overtly sweet though, Steve.
I'm still finding it.
Is it just because of the last beer we had though?
Possibly. This is the first time I've had this in a long time as well. Probably in a year I haven't had Elvis.
But then I prefer the high wire grapefruit for measuring volume.
Oh, see, that's quite nice.
100%.
You don't like it?
Like that.
Which is ironic, as you're the one who introduced me to it. When you call back the growler from Magic Rock.
It's too tart for me.
Too tart.
No such thing as too tart. I don't know what you're talking about. It's what beers are meant to be.
So what's the ABV?
It's just 6.7.
It's closer to 7 than 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
It feels
drinkable. Very, very
drinkable beer.
Yeah, I understand why you would pick a few of these up from the supermarket and absolutely smash them.
Yeah.
You didn't manage it's cold.
This is a bit of a Tesco staple now, isn't it?
Sitting in the garden.
Sitting
in the garden.
This is standard.
If you had a barbecue, you'd win everyone.
I was just about to say that, and it would cut through all that greasy, but it would cut through the fat.
I think it's the first 6.5%, which is what it is. 6.5% session that I've ever had. It's
sessionable is quite a wide area these days.
Nothing.
Anything between about 5 and 8.
Let's go. Okay, so let's.
But 7.4 is my.
Anything that's not so grating on the palate that you wouldn't then pick up another one. I mean, there are some beers that are challenging, and you have a 330, and you think, I enjoyed that, but I'm not drinking another one.
I think let's define a new style of beer. This is a smashable beer. That's what it is.
I can't believe he's used your word.
Hang on, that's been copyrighted.
Trademarked that word.
Excuse me, I think Australia's trademarked that word many years before. It's it's all we do with beers.
I could do this. I could do pints of this.
I couldn't.
I could do pints.
Easy.
I could manage probably at most one pint, and then I'd be needing something else.
Okay, so it's a 3-1. You're wrong, then.
No, it's beer.
I think I'm wrong.
No, this is how their show works. You're either right or you're wrong.
An opinion can't be wrong.
A different show.
No, definitely a different show. Yeah. I'm going to say you're wrong. Sorry. So, Andrew, music.
Heathens.
Okay, so I went Scottish again.
Why not?
Shit, he's got the
big country. You've gone for Proclaimers, yeah, definitely.
Simple Minds.
Okay, so. This is
Clara.
This is wishful thinking, isn't it? On your part.
I'm just going down the list of Scottish bands.
You're running out now.
Yeah.
So.
Frightened Rabbit.
Look, Frightened Rabbit is my go-to band all the time. So, grapefruit, spiky tartness in there.
Yeah.
Sweetness means high notes for me. Yeah. So I am going for something that's a bit in your face. A bit Scottish. Well, it's actually very Scottish. In fact, it's so broadly Scottish that
we've claimed independence for the record world.
We have printed out the lyrics, and everyone has to follow. So it's basically spoken word with this hardcore electro beat over the top.
So that's what you need, right?
Yeah.
Apparently.
There are some startled looks across the table right now.
Yeah.
Okay. This is. We were ploughing an 80s vibe earlier. This is bang up to date.
Okay. Well, bang. You say bang up.
It's not bang up to date.
We'll go into it afterwards.
It's a re-recording of an old song.
It's a Nicola Sturgeon speech, isn't it?
Oh, you see, they could probably do that over the same backing track, and it would probably be. the first big referendum of the summer.
Yeah. It'd be amazing.
I'm claiming independence from this show right now.
So the band is Arab Strap. Yes, Scottish.
Again, we're getting blank looks from across the table.
Yeah, no idea, you lost me there.
First big weekend of 2016.
Yep, that's the name of it. So this is Arab Strap with First Big Weekend of 2016.
So that was the first big weekend of the summer. Starts Thursday as usual with a canteen quiz, and again no one wins a big cash prize. Later I do my sound bloke routine by approaching Gina's new boyfriend to say that he shouldn't feel there's any animosity between us, and then I even go and make peace with her. Shouldn't have bothered. Then on Friday night we went through to the Arches. Going, so someone's had to get the train. We got through quite late and went to a pub to take the gear. There was no problems getting in, we saw others waiting in the front of the queue, so we skipped in. It was a good night, everyone was nutty, and I ended up dancing with some blonde girl. I thought she had been quite pretty until last night when Matthew informed me she had in fact been a pig. When the club finished, we wandered the streets for a while until we got to this 24-hour cafe. I didn't like look at it, so we left and got a taxi back to Morag's flat. I couldn't sleep, so I sat about drinking someone else's strawberry tonic wine and tried to keep everyone else up. John's with a lot of beer and time to watch The Simpsons. It was a really good episode about love always ended in tragedy, except of course for Marge and Homer. It was quite moving at the end, and to tell you the truth, my eyes were a bit damp. Then we watched these young girls in swimsuits have a water fight in the street.
Keeping this out.
We went up the pub about 10. It was busy for a Sunday night. Lots of people we know, including my first ever girlfriend, who I still find very attractive, quite frankly, but I didn't really speak to her. She's probably still a bitch anyway. My friend Gillian was there. I had a chat with her, she was still quite pleasant. At the same time I watched Malcolm make some terrible attempt to try and chat up a girl we know called Jo. He made some remark about a skirt that was barely there the previous night or something. I couldn't sleep again that night, thanks to some seriously disturbing nightmares. Matthew said I should cut down on the cheese.
We had fun and weekend, it lasted forever. Get high with our friends, it's official, it's summer. We had fun and weekend, it lasted forever. Get high with our friends, it's official, it's summer. We had fun and weekend, it lasted forever. Get high with our friends, it's official, it's summer. We had fun and weekend, it lasted forever. Get high with our friends, it's official, it's summer.
I got some sleep eventually on Monday afternoon. It was a beautiful day. And later that evening, Malcolm introduced me to Pura Meridian. 179 a litre, 8.2%. Judith and Laura came round later, and we sat in the back garden and drank. Then Matthew came round and we went up the town. It's officially summer.
Okay, so it was Arab Strap with First Big Weekend of 2016. I mean, heroin, yeah, totally.
that the vibe you're picking up?
Straight in there.
Yeah.
You know, I think a couple of you called it. You said Trainspotting, didn't you?
It felt like a Trainspotting.
It brought the sourness and bitterness up around my head.
made it a little drier.
Yeah, for me, 100%. Yeah.
I think it made it more drinkable for me. I think it's a very good beer, but I think
as in drink the beer and the music will finish quicker.
No, the music was fine. It was the talking bit where they wouldn't shut up was not to my taste. But the actual underlying, the music behind that, I thought was really good.
So I can picture stripped out all the lyrics.
All the words. Take all the words out.
And just have this punching, driving.
I think that I get the punchy bit. Definitely get the punchy bit.
See, it's funny because I think
that's the first of the three I can say.
There you go.
There's something happening there.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's. I'm going to say this. It's tasting different now.
Hey.
When the music isn't on, it's gone back to its kind of juicy fruitiness for me. Whereas when I was listening to the track at the same time as drinking it, it was a little drier. It was a little bitterer. There was a lot more going on.
Maybe a bit sharper as well.
Yeah. It was funny actually. When you just said that, I took a swig, and I was saying that I'm going to say that the sourness went like this. Which helps for a podcast.
Basically, he's doing the pitch where you put your hands up the side of your face and over. I think you're putting a Parker hood.
We're still not getting that, are we? The whole visuals on audio.
Maybe we just need to move to video podcasting. But it does.
No one wants to see us fall.
Just to be clear. Already too many beardy blokes on YouTube.
Faces
mystery,
for radio. But no, that did the sound, like when you were listening to it, the tartness kind of travels up your head, and
like a migraine.
A little bit, yeah, but like a pleasant migraine.
Well, like they tuned it.
That's what they were talking.
But it's funny because it's like the whole tune is basically about going out for a massive one on the weekend, right? Getting the gear, which is guessing
all sorts of stuff going on.
Drugs.
Well, let's face it.
Not beer.
There's beer mentioned.
Were they not going out to a Brewdog bar?
The gear is clearly Elvis.
They're definitely not going.
I mean, if you were on this for the weekend, you would know about it.
Yeah.
You know, 6.5% grape juice for the whole time, you would notice it.
You'd be very rather true. Drawn by the end of the weekend, wouldn't you? Be
like that? You'd definitely be a badly drawn boy.
Look at that music reference! Slipping it in there like it was nothing! Honestly! Who is this man? I want him back.
I'm
under pressure now. Steve's on in there before the end of this, aren't I?
Pressure's on Steve. That definitely.
I think it matches the beer.
I think it matched the beer better than the first two because I got the spiky, sharp bits, which had the techno music.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because I would have gone for a sort of spiky indie band, like something that's a bit like...
Biffy.
Discordant-ish biffy kind of feel. Not Biffy. No, not Biffy.
All right, then I'm just throwing in a reference.
I would have gone for DIY punk band. So no Spiral Carpets for you. I'm going to go like the Tuts, Onsind, fucking Martha, bands ever heard of.
No, you're just throwing them out there.
Is the band called fucking Martha?
They should be.
It could be on this show.
But it's funny because, I mean, that, never something that I would have picked. But
what did you pick? What did you pick for this one?
I picked a spiky indie band. I picked a New York spiky queer indie band because I thought queerness, sourness, it works. But no, I think that matches that really nicely.
Oh, you've changed your tune.
I think it went really well.
Yeah.
Excellent. That said, the first one out of the three, which I thought, I can picture myself, even though it's not the sort of thing I'd go to, like a festival, where everyone is in tune with the music and the lights.
Ah, but see, that's interesting, because we touched on that, I think, with Pete Brown the last one, where can you ever have experiences that you were never there for?
I think so.
Yeah, because you can picture it. Yeah.
And that I can picture.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I might be on the sidelines.
However,
let's be clear.
Not right there in the middle.
No, not right in the middle.
Martin,
not about to be passed along.
Hold your horses, though, because we haven't yet got to beer for number four. I mean, this is going to blow your mind. I'm ramping this up. Shall we get on to beer
he's
number four?
He's putting a bit of pressure on himself.
He is.
Shall we get up beer
number four? Like,
I haven't even listened to the song to make sure that it goes with the beer. But it's going to be fantastic. So shall we move on?
Yep, let's do this.
Okay, let's do this.
Beer number four.
Gentleman's Relish.
Yes.
There's a place in Colchester.
Gentleman's Relish is just the wrong name for everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
It's the right name for something.
The right name for something very wrong. Okay, so now we're doing a Michella because we're trendy.
Is it Michella or Michella? Does anyone know how this works?
Beer expert.
I always say Michella.
Michella. It's Michella. Okay, good.
Michella sounds a bit too like you're almost going to say Michelob.
Yeah.
Oh. I've not had a Michelob for ages.
Hey. So this is a... this one doesn't really have a name, but I've heard it called Spontan Yuzu.
Are you recording it?
I am recording right now. The can, it says sour ale brewed with yuzu and aged in oak barrels.
What's going on in that glass?
My God.
Jeez.
It's horrific.
God.
I am warning you. There is weight. Oh no, this isn't as bad as I thought it was. This is only a 7.7%.
It's not the percentage where.
There's definitely an aroma.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I can't even begin to describe that aroma.
Is that fruity sweetness?
It's like. It's like someone soaked some fruit in TCP.
There's definitely fruit.
I'm thinking in a bandage. And
it's like a pick a mix. If you went to Woolworths and got a bag of pick a mix
and then barrel aged in witch hazel.
Oh my God. Antiseptic quality.
There is definitely antiseptic quality. Yeah.
Do you know what, chaps? That is 5 stars on Untapped. How?
I think the 5 stars on Untapped is people that are wanking over the fact that they've had this beer.
Jeez. Oh, that's sherbet. That's sharp.
My friends, is phenomenal.
Just
that's
to be clear,
what that
I haven't
is.
Been brave enough to taste it yet.
So. You know what? I was going to read off the can, but actually the can has nothing. So this is...
It's a dib dab.
Yes, there you go.
This is a...
Try drinking it without inhaling at the same time. The flavour's a lot better.
So this is from Michella's celebration this year, 2017.
And just for those who can't watch, Steve's face pudding at the moment is fantastic.
You thought he was puckering before.
Puckering now.
Someone pass me the cap.
This is the Spontan Yuzu, which it's a spontaneously fermented sour ale with yuzu. And it's aged in whiskey barrels.
I'm not getting any whiskey off of that.
I'm getting the fullness that you'd normally get out of a whiskey barrel.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the whiskey is actually taking some of the edge off. Even if you can't taste the whiskey, it's taking some of the edge off.
And that's saying something when whiskey takes the edge off.
This has made it fuller. It's like, it's given it a roundness to it, the whiskey.
Oh, that's an experience in the glass.
This is, I honestly...
That flavour is so different to the smell.
I recommend this to anybody who says that they don't like beer because I want them to taste this and say that it is beer.
Well, after tasting this, I don't like beer.
Or when they say that beer's all the same.
There's no bitterness to this.
This would definitely challenge that particular concept.
There's no bitterness to this at all.
It's tart, sour.
There's tart and dryness, isn't there? But the aroma is, for me, massively off-putting. If you went just on the aroma, you wouldn't taste it. But if you can get past that and actually taste it, the sherbet was a great shout. It's got that dry, very dry sherbet mouthfeel you get after.
It's funny, you know, because you said the aroma puts you off. The aroma to me, as soon as I smell, I tried this one about 3 weeks ago.
But it's unexpected aroma.
Did either of you two go to this?
No, unfortunately not. Next year, it's going to happen.
Is that going to be?
It's going to be. I reckon we should do a podcast meetup for all beer podcasts.
Can we put Madonna mics on?
With Madonna mics, all of us recording at the same time at McKellar Beer
Celebration.
Just walking
around with our little earpieces on.
Yep.
So that would involve me lasting longer than 45 minutes in a session.
Yeah, and not trying to podcast from being on the floor.
Yeah. Frankly.
So, I don't know. This to me is one of the.
So why did you choose this? Just out of curiosity, out of all the beers we had here today, with a Brewdog bar, they have quite a good selection, especially in the fridge. Why did you choose this one?
This to me is one of the most interesting beers I've tried in a really long time. This is the most different beer I've had, and not in a challenge. I don't think this is challenging.
What?
I think this is.
How's it not challenging?
The aroma
would stop people drinking.
There's a sourness to this, but at the same time,
hand up.
There's not a single thing about this beer that I like.
See, I quite like the flavour.
I don't like the aroma. I don't like the flavour. I don't like.
I mean, to be honest, it doesn't taste like beer whatsoever.
It's horrific.
Doesn't taste like beer.
Wow. Okay.
But the aroma is so different to the flavour.
I didn't. You know what? This pivoted my entire feeling of what beer could be.
Can he play something that makes you think that's even slightly better?
I would love to see that.
You know what?
Or worse still, he plays something which makes things worse.
Well, I have a feeling
either way, the theory is proved.
That could possibly be the way to go. Yeah, really well right now. Okay. Shall we play the music and then we can wax lyrical about the beer?
Are you not going to give us any heads up about the music?
So. I have gone for something that. So I've not gone for sonic perfection here. I've not gone for something to make this sweeter or make this more bitter or make this sourer. I've gone for something that evokes an experience.
Have you got something which helps Steve make it taste like beer?
Yeah, possibly. Who knows? So I've gone for a band that I love called Los Campesinos.
Oh, dude, no, really? Okay.
That doesn't sound great.
Okay.
And the reason that I've gone for this is because
I get how it goes with this.
Yeah, similar to this, it is the most interesting band I've heard for the last 20 years. So I've gone for a song called We Are Beautiful, We Are Doomed, which I think matches this perfectly. It brings out the experience of this beer. So let's go. This is Los Campesinos with We Are Beautiful, We Are Doomed.
Put it down to the two.
VCR recorder, you kiss my neck, I whisper in your ear. This is my dying flesh, you squint and you grimace. We both know your heart's not in it. In a glow of a thousand fireflies, no travelodge on sweet. They think the future's bright as halogen. We know it's pretty bleak and I'm trying to be sexy, biting at the air that falls in front of me. Less detailed by the day, and all the characters are strangers, and the pubs have different names. I tell a joke, I'd like to meet them, but they loathe me and I hate them back. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, fondness makes the absence longer. Length loses my interest, I'm a realist, I'm insatiable. Stop counting days until I fly with hours before your reply. Yeah. only way to vaguely get along in love is to like the other slightly less than you get in return. I keep feeling like I'm being undercut. Charlotte says it's more constructive than the one in Canada when you got drunk, ate loads of crisps and threw up by a football pitch. I know it is, and really that's what worries me. I feel like I should hurt. Enough that my body is a badly designed, poorly put together vessel, harbouring these diminishing so-called vital organs. Hey, my heart goes first. Hey, my heart goes first. We are beautiful. We are doomed.
Okay, can you stop talking about football stickers?
Sorry.
That was Los Campesinos with We Are Beautiful, We Are Doomed. Steve.
Yes.
You actually threw your headphones down in a strop about 10 seconds in.
I didn't throw them down in a strop. I took them off because I'd already come to the conclusion that I wasn't enjoying the beer. The music was doing nothing to enhance the beer. I found it awful in every aspect. for a beer that comes in a can stating that it's a celebration of beer, this is probably the furthest thing away from beer that I would ever want to drink.
Shame on you, McKellar.
So
shame,
yeah.
Shame.
So you go do your cocoa brewing all over the globe and be world renowned for doing that, but I don't enjoy that shit.
Oh, those are strong words. I mean,
it's quite a lot of fences in there, Steve.
I'm just.
What was it?
I was just going to say.
Too much to think.
To balance this, because I mean, I think I did say it before the music, but this is, I think, up there with one of my favourite beers of all time.
Oh, wow.
This brings a different definition to what beer can be.
Doesn't make it good. I mean, I the aroma is foul.
Oh,
the aroma is properly foul.
Okay.
But I actually don't mind the flavour. I think you've already nailed it by saying the sherbet. It's almost got that dryness of the sherbet as well on the tongue. I think it's a very, very interesting beer. But the aroma, if I wasn't into beer already, the aroma would have stopped me trying.
Wow.
I think this is a
you
gateway
think
beer
right?
to 12-year-olds.
What?
if you were going to ever induct kids into the world of beer.
So you're saying this is
just to be clear, we do not.
No, we don't.
we do not condone inducting kids.
It's okay, guys. This isn't your podcast. No. We wholly condone kids getting into beer. It's fine.
So the other good description that you had was like it's like punch at a party.
That was a brilliant description.
That was an excellent description.
It's like if you take yourself back to when you were in your teenage years and you went to a party where
everyone
was at and you had a big punch bowl and it had been...
Add the baby sham.
Everything had been added to that punch bowl throughout the evening, and this is what came out of was kind of this juicy fruit thing.
Tangy, zingy, sherbet-y.
To me, like
sour.
That's the thing. I can 100% pinpoint the flavours in this beer. There is sourness, there is tartness, there is, as you said, there is a juiciness to it, and there is a sweetness as well.
Really,
the sugars have not been.
You really like the beer?
I fucking love it. It's great.
So, what was the song trying to get for us?
So, I know that at the same time.
I just stopped listening.
What you did.
Yeah,
so,
to be fair.
Whilst I love this beer, I think that it is not a traditional choice for beer. It is a spiky.
It's not beer.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to go along the same lines as Steve. It's like it's a spiky beer. It is not to everyone's taste. Which, to me, as I was saying, I was trying to evoke the experience with that song as well. I think that band is one of the best examples of this kind of spiky indie that is a bit weird and a bit like it's for the freaks that like never had friends in high school. It's that, and that to me matches perfectly with this beer. In, well,
this beer has no friends.
In concept, listening through, I'm not sure sonically that it matched the beer. I possibly would have gone for something a bit bassier. To
maybe not sonically, but I say I do get what you're saying, because it's I did enjoy the song, and but it, what it did for me was it probably heightened the bits which I wasn't sure about in the beer.
Yeah, exactly. It was the kind of discordantness, right? Yeah. It was the.
But
yeah.
I'm not sure that helped. So if we go back to the original question on the opinion show we did, does it enhance? It did, but it probably enhanced the wrong bits.
Wrong bits.
Which is exactly the point that I'm trying to make. This is the bit that Andrew always gets wrong with the intro,
I want to make
right?
Beer taste better.
Yeah, he's like sound is there to make beer taste better. No, it is there to enhance the bits that you choose to enhance. And I think for this, I wanted
to enhance thrash metal to have completely destroyed any taste that I was experiencing.
You can still have one.
You know what? I could have done some hip hop with this as well. I could have done some. British hip hop, not grime, like British homegrown hip hop. Because grime isn't homegrown, apparently. I'm digging myself into a hole here. But I could have gone for some slightly challenging hip hop for this as well.
Well, to be fair, any hip hop for me is challenging.
But it's. I think this, from a sonic point of view, this
even
benefits.
Even Wham Rap.
Wham Rap's probably about as far as I go.
That is not hip hop. How dare you?
That's what I grew up with.
Surely that was the genesis of British hip hop. Was Wham Rap.
I'm closing this shit down right now. Jesus.
Before we go into some weirdly nostalgic.
Fucking Wham Rap. If you know what, if we ever play Wham Rap to match with a beer, that's the point where we know that this podcast has ended, Andrew.
Damn,
you know
right, what? Next episode.
If as a result of this show doesn't close out with Wham Rap, you've
I'll be
missed
very
the fucking trick.
I'll be massively disappointed.
Because now you can't not do it.
Well, look, I salute you for choosing this beer.
So you two have different philosophies then about the beer?
Slightly.
Choosing music.
It's not.
Because you're always trying to make it feel better.
Yeah,
I
am. Why
points.
Would you enhance something that's bad about a beer? Yeah. Make it feel
so,
better.
And actually,
your choice of song definitely brought out the bits which weren't working for
the
me.
The discordant bits, yeah. Right? Yeah.
I can't say that word, so. But you definitely brought out those bits for me. Whereas the tunes before either matched or elevated the good
yes.
bits.
Yeah, and that's I suppose this. I always bring it back to the beer that I've mentioned many times in this podcast and the previous podcast. Smoke and Barrels, Summer, Wild.
You do mention it every fucking time.
I know. But that is
sponsored by.
It's sponsored by Wild Beer Co.
No, it's the perfect. It's the perfect example of you when you drink that beer, you don't want to try and make it taste better because that is not what the beer is about. The beer is about challenging your taste buds and trying to make you taste something different. So you want to. Enhance those aspects
yeah, but
of
to
it.
To be fair, this beer was doing that before you played the song.
Yes.
And I was just helping it along.
I would have chosen something which would have gone, which would have softened those.
Could have done for some
those edges. Yeah.
I could have gone for some Barry White.
Could have gone for some Barry White, which you know, gone with the comments earlier. But I would have dialed down.
Well, you know what? You're not as brave a man as I am, so that's fine. It's okay.
I am. I'm drinking this stuff.
But that's interesting. So that's an interesting philosophy, isn't it? So you think you've maxed it out, whereas you would have chosen something to rein it in.
Yeah, I would have definitely to rein it in a bit.
You know what?
I like that.
Make you have something which distracted you a little bit from those rough bits. All the bits about with this beer, which is heightened, are the not so good bits.
Do you know what would happen then? We'd only have Ed Sheeran. I'm just saying, that's all we'd have in life.
I would never choose Ed Sheeran.
On that note, shall we wrap this up?
You would never have Ed Sheeran.
We did have a previous podcast which was entirely centered around the fact that I would totally do Ed Sheeran. So I mean, that's,
and then we tagged Ed Sheeran.
Yeah,
and that was a massive.
Yeah. Worked really well for marketing. So you know, thank you very much for letting me tag Ed Sheeran again. So this has been Rhythm and Brews. Do we have anything exciting in the next month? I don't think we do.
What, Rhythm and Brews wise or just us wise?
Just in your life.
We've got a gig on Friday.
Are you getting married again?
Yes.
Amazing. No, nobody cares about our gigs. So next month we're live with Renegade.
We are.
Ruth. Brews. Who I believe you guys, do you have any sage words of wisdom for us with Ruth from Renegade?
Be careful. And if she pulls gin out of her bag, run.
No, say yes.
Say yes. Always say yes to gin.
Say yes to gin, especially if it's dry hot.
Okay.
Jesus. Okay. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be good fun.
Oh, God. I'm dreading it now. Okay, so this has been Rhythm and Brews for another month. I've been Luke.
I've been Andrew.
I'm Steve.
Martin.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Seamless, almost that one.
Honestly, I took out, I edited out the gap.
This
fine.
Has been fun. I've enjoyed this.
Let's do this again.
Even if cheers, it has guys. Been a pile
cheers.
Of bullshit.
Cheers. Let's do this again. Cheers. Okay, Rhythm and Brews, signing off. Bye.